I don't see any public hearing, so we'll move on to the consent.
No public here. Consent agenda, we've got minutes from our June meeting. And also, we've got an annual audit agreement there from the same auditor we've been using for the last couple of years. Those guys, like everybody else, are gone up a little bit, gone up a couple thousand dollars. So it's going to cost us a little bit more, but they do a good job. And I'll tell you what, when we shopped auditors last time, this was the only one I could even get a proposal out of. But we're lucky to have them, I feel like. But yeah, auditors are hard to find nowadays. Not that many people going into that business. But anyway, I've got a proposal there from them to do our annual audit for next year.
I make a motion we approve the consent items as printed.
Second.
Got a motion and second for the consent items. No further comment. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. Motion carries. And we're down to number two. Budget.
Second item was 2022-2023 budget. We looked at a draft of it last month, and this is pretty much the same, other than we talked about that increase for our hourly people. We included it in this budget. Had a meeting with the appraisal district. I'm still basing this budget off of preliminary values from the appraisal district. We're not going to get our certified values till the end of this month. And when we do, it's likely to be a little bit different. So we've based this thing off kind of the worst case scenario. But what I did add $300,000 in income to this budget. Those were the only two changes I think I made. Yes. We added $300,000 in income revenue, and we added those increases were the only thing we added. And the reason we added that $300,000 is the power plant this year, I think we appraised it at $2.2 million, a little over $2.2 billion. The plant intended to appeal it, saying that they wanted to argue it down to 1.6. So the appraisal district had it at 2.2 billion. They wanted to argue it down to 1.65. They filed their protest late, and it caused them to pay a penalty. And our share of that penalty is $300,000. So I was able to put that in the budget. The school had $1.5 million for the school, something like that. All the entities got a pretty good chunk of that penalty that they had to pay just to have the opportunity to go to the appraisal review board and argue their value.
Have they had that meeting yet, the ARB?
No, they have not. They're going to have it here in the next two or three weeks, I think.
That's a pretty good penalty for a company to throw in.
It's a stiff penalty.
Did they know they were going to have to?
No, that no, it was a...
They missed the deadline.
They missed a deadline. It was just.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that someone missed the boat there.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I think someone lost a job over there. Yes, it was
and they had a meeting scheduled, and then they canceled with the ARB.
Well, no, I
is that
not, I
that
I don't know. I don't know that that's the case. They do just like a regular citizen would do in appealing their taxes. They just filed with the ARB to go down and argue their taxes, and they make the case like anyone would, and the ARB has the opportunity to either find on their behalf or find on the appraisal district's behalf, which.
But I surprised when we told her that I didn't ever remember them meeting with ARB, but they were going to this year.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, they were scheduled, and then they canceled.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Why did not we have
a year? They never filed it.
But?
They never filed it.
Yeah.
The appeal to go to the ARB.
I don't know.
They didn't. That's why they got the penalty.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was.
So they've already paid the penalty?
I don't know if they've already paid it, but they're gonna pay it. They'll have to pay it. But it's going, it'll go in next year's budget. But yeah, there's no, state law requires them when they, to pay that penalty. The appraisal district doesn't have any say in whether they pay it or not. If, once they miss that deadline and decide that they still want to appeal, they have to pay that penalty. And it's really, you know, it's really a windfall for the school because it's non-recaptured money for the school district. It is strange. It's strange that they would miss a deadline like that. You know, they did the same thing here a couple of years ago. Was it 2 years ago when they?
Well, that's when they missed the payment.
They did it on the payment.
They paid their taxes late accidentally and incurred
pay a late fee.
Yeah, incurred a big penalty.
Somebody needs to go to bookkeeping 101.
Well, that gal, when it happened earlier, if you remember, they fired that, that gal. Because and she was in the billing and all that. She failed to cut the wire transfers.
Right.
And so, she used the wrong code.
And so it didn't go.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. This one, and this penalty is based on the 2.2 billion.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get that thing filed in time and didn't pay the tax.
So anyway, I think Wes's preliminary values are based on 165 worst case scenario. And I built this budget based on the worst case scenario. I think at the end of the day, we're going to have a little more revenue than what I'm showing in this budget. But we're showing worst case scenario here. I did add that $300,000 in back to it because we're gonna end up getting that for sure, but I think it's a pretty good budget. It's because of the way our tax rates. We're gonna adopt the tax rate next item, but because of the way we have to adopt our tax rate based on the value of the average homestead, our tax rate's getting forced down again this year. You know, last year we were at 0.124. This year it's forcing us, that formula's forcing us down to 0.111. So, I mean, that's good for our homeowners. That's the intent of it, is to keep, districts, water districts from gouging their homeowners and just, you know, constantly raising that 7% that we used to be allowed to raise. But anyway, it's hard on us when home values are jumping up as like they are in Somerville County. It forces, you know, it's just tough on us because it forces our tax rate down.
And we will catch up next year. Also.
We're not going to catch up next year. It'll be the same thing next year.
Yeah, it's continuing.
Yeah, because it's continuing. I mean, that increase in home values has increased this year, just like it did last year.
Even though the rate is decreasing, our tax revenue is going to be the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Our tax revenue is going to, yeah, even though that rate went down, our tax revenue is going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on where they settle, I mean, if they end up settling that thing at $2 billion, then our tax revenue is still going to be up. Even though we've lowered our rate, we're still going to have a little bit more revenue. But we're in good shape. Any way you look at it, we're in good shape revenue-wise, just because of the plant value has increased so much over the last year. And that plant value next year is going to increase again. Just like the home prices are going to drive our rate next year, they're going to drive our rate down even lower. The plant value is still going to be higher. We're going to be... I bet 2.4, maybe even $2.5 billion on the plant next year. It's going to just, these energy prices are not, well, not energy prices, but
gas prices.
Wholesale electricity price is still trending up. So it's going to.
Yeah. And they're running full power, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this year.
Yeah.
I read an article this morning where ERCOT was encouraging conservation because of the cold.
Okay.
I mean the heat.
Yeah. I did an audit on my electric bill
And last year about, well, I did it last month, so last year for June, with the co-op, we were paying like 8 cents a kilowatt hour. Last month, it was 12 and a half. And I think this month I got my bill, and I think it's almost 13. So I think in another year or two, we'll be up 17 or 18 cents a kilowatt hour, so.
Double what you were.
Double what we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, natural gas is at $8 an MCF, and it was two last year.
Yeah, we're gonna be pumping more water too with the growth that's coming along. We are all set for that, I guess.
Have we what?
Are we prepared for that?
I mean, we're prepared to pump to pump the water if it's in the river. I mean, the only thing we just got to get
water.
We just got to get some rain.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we have the capacity to get the water up here. We've got a really good deal on our electricity. You know, I don't know if y'all remember, but what was that, a 20-year deal?
It was a long time. Yeah.
We got into that 20-year deal at 4 cents a kilowatt. 3.5 or 4 cents a kilowatt hour here a few years back. And so we're
locked in.
At a real cheap electric rate for till I'm gone, I know that. Well, I don't know about Kim.
Are we pumping any more water to the plant?
No.
To
the power plant?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of our retail customers. We serve all their.
But they wanted 300.
Yeah, no, you know, that was if they bought the or built units 3 and 4, and that never did materialize. So we're not selling them what they had thought that they may end up needing, but we are selling them all of their potable water. They're not using any groundwater up there anymore. You know, they still use the cooling water out of the lake. That's their big water use is cooling water, but it comes out of the lake. But we're selling them, I think, 100% of their potable water for the plant. So they're not our biggest customer, but they're in the top five, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. I make a motion to approve the budget.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and second to approve the budget. Any comment? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. Motion carries. Move on.
That next agenda is to set a proposed tax rate. We have to approve that budget first, and then we set the proposed tax rate based on that budget. And like I said, this proposed tax rate is still based on a preliminary number from Wes. Whenever we get around to setting the final tax rate in, I guess that'll be September, we'll be looking at a different number from Wes, but I don't really expect that this tax rate will change, because it's not really based on what our values are going to be. It's based on, you know, the average homestead.
Well, you know, I keep going back to the meeting we had with him, and they said that it was going to go up because the state was demanding that $50 million. Are we affected by that?
No, but what was going to go up?
Our taxes. You remember when we was in that meeting back in the spring? And he said that the state had required Somerville County.
Yeah,
$50 million more.
You know, the state requires them to be within, and you probably say it better than me. They require them to be so close to actual appraised values. Is that what you're talking about? Within 5% or 10% of the actual appraisal. Is that right?
And we can't do it because, you know, the values go up.
They're going up
10%, and so
yeah, they're going up so fast that we can barely keep up with it.
But you know, once it gets to that point, but you know, we'll have a recession, I'm sure, between now and then, and everything will come back down. It'll get closer, but there's no way to meet it.
Yeah,
you know, it's an unattainable goal.
But you know, with us, it goes back to with the, all the other taxing entities, they're basing their rate on the actual value of our tax base for Somerville County, you know, and we don't get to do that. All we can look at, the only thing that matters to us is last year, the average appraised residential homestead was $216,000. This year, it's $249,000. So the average homestead value has gone up that much. And that's what our formula is based off of. They don't want people to have to pay taxes any more than, I guess it's 8%, any more than 8% increase in their taxes because of their, based on their the average value of their homestead. It's hard to explain. Always has been hard to explain. I don't really understand it, but that's how the formula works. But as long as home prices, the value of home prices are appreciating like they are, it's going to continue to force us down, no matter what.
We were locked in. Yeah. He did 30% in appraised value in 20 and 21. And you're only taking 10 a year by state. You can only raise the value 10% by state law. So you're carrying forward 20% a year for the last 2 years. And so even if houses stay flat, you have 6 years locked in at 10% because you've had 30 and 30 basically. So 5 years, 10% increase is how I think of it. They're almost guaranteed for our county. Already locked in without prices going up anymore.
Now the only saving grace that we have really is that the value of that plant is going up. If our tax base were staying flat, then we'd just be losing money. I mean, we'd be gaining less revenue. The only thing that's keeping us...
We get the benefit of that, of the power plant's value going up.
Fortunately, the price of natural gas and the price of wholesale electricity is trending up, so we're able to keep up with that, with the losses that we're getting off, taken off of our tax rate. You know, it's really, for us, it's a good deal for our homeowners.
They're paying less
taxes to us. And it's forcing the power plant to pay a higher percentage of our.
Somerville is in a great position as far as the appraisals of the values and the concern, because, like you said, one entity pays, what, 70% of the value?
Yes.
That's the one that you have to be concerned with, and theirs is going up. So.
Yeah.
It used to be 80%, but
I don't have it.
I think probably was as high as 85 at one time. Before DREG, it may have been 90%.
Yeah, right.
I remember 85, I think, when I came here. Yeah. So regardless of whatever happens, we're going to be raising values 10% for the next 5 years.
Basically.
Probably so.
Unless the bottom just fell out of it.
Yeah.
Raising taxes.
Yeah.
Raising value, dropping taxes.
For us.
Tax rate.
The millage rate will drop.
Right.
But anyway, right now the way the formula shows our rate, the maximum rate we could have is 0.111. It's lowered that it's going to be lowered.
With values going up,
we're going to have to drop it from 0.124 to 0.111, and that's still a projection based on the preliminary values. When we come back in September, it may fluctuate just a little bit based on the formula, but I'll let y'all know. Y'all can leave it there if you want to, or we can adjust it to the maximum amount that we can get. But we'll take a look at that in September. We'll know the final value.
Mr. Meek, you ready for a motion?
I am ready.
I make a motion that we set our proposed tax rate at 111. An M&O of 0.071 and INS of 0.040, and set the public hearing for the new tax rate on September 12, 2020.
If you look at that one spreadsheet.
I'll say. If we have a second on that.
Second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you look, before you vote, I was just going to say, if you look at that spreadsheet behind that cover sheet, look at them last two items. You can kind of see in a glance what's going on. In 2021, with a tax rate of 0.124 and with a total taxable value, that's plant and all of residential and commercial, everything, $2.5 billion, we raised $338,000 from that value. This year, the formula forcing us down to 0.111 tax rate, and the values are up to $2.956 billion, and we're showing to bring in about almost exactly the same revenue of 317,000 dollars. So the way it stands right now, our revenue is just almost exactly the same with a total entire value of two, you know.
The value's gone
from 2.5 to 2.9. Yeah. So, and I think when that value at the end of the day, this year is going to be, it's going to be over 3 billion and our revenue will be a little bit higher. So, you know, that looks good for us as far as that goes.
All right, we've got a motion. all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No opposition. The motion carries.
And next, I put this on the agenda because we started talking about the personal leave policy. I was going to start looking at our personal leave policy, see how it compares to some other districts, some other water suppliers. I've only gotten one other policy that I looked at, so I hadn't really had a chance to review that thing. So there's no action to be taken here. I was just going to tell you guys that I'm looking at it. One thing that I did see, Johnson County Rural Water is real comparable. Even when we looked at them when we were building this office, they're real comparable to us. They're a lot bigger than us. They're real progressive. They work real closely with the Texas Rural Water Association. Anyway, they always have good policies in place. I looked at their policy, and one thing they do that I thought was kind of interesting, and I hadn't really decided whether I think it's a good idea or not, but they combine their sick leave and their vacation into just personal time off. That way, you know, instead of having 2 weeks vacation and a week of sick leave, they just say you've got 3 weeks personal time off. And people, they have to use their personal time for their vacation time for sick leave. An employee that uses a whole lot of sick leave, they just have to use their personal time off. I see some benefits to that. I don't know if anybody's ever has any experience with that, but I see some benefits to it. I see a little bit of downside to it, but I'm trying to think through that and see if that would be a better deal. On the surface, I kind of like it because you're only keeping track of one. Kim and the accountants only have to keep track of one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps people from abusing their sick leave, calling in sick when they just want a day off. But, you know, we really don't have that much of a problem with that. I know other employers do. They have people using sick leave when they're not really sick, but I don't think we have a real problem with that. But I kind of like the concept of that. I'm going to investigate that and see if that might be a little bit better deal from us. But other than that, I still got to get some policies from our competitors in here and look at them and see what they're doing.
Would that possibly cause a problem with you trying to plan a work schedule?
Well, you know, I think it actually makes it easier planning a work schedule because you don't have people just calling in sick. You have people actually scheduling their days off instead of using sick leave to take a day off. So I don't know. I think it might help a little bit, and I don't really see a downside to it yet.
Maybe protecting, making sure they had some sick leave left if they needed it.
Yeah, that it doesn't protect you. It doesn't. They have to hold some back on their own to make sure that they've got it. You know, when the time comes. So
our policy is set up that the more tenure you have, the more vacation you get. But now sick leave, you can bank, everybody can bank 30 days?
It's 160 hours.
You can bank sick month sick leave. Now, on vacation, you can, at 30 days, you're thinking about, is it 30? It's 3 weeks. It's 30.
3 weeks.
It's 3 weeks. You can carry 3 week vacation over from year to year. You know, you can't bank vacation really above 3 weeks, but you can bank sick leave up to 6 months. Like me, I think I'm the only one that's got 6 months worth of sick leave banked up, but I've been here long enough to have, you know, to have built that much up. I'm not accruing any more sick leave because I'm at the max. And
check on that and see if that's standard or.
All right.
I mean, that's a long time that you can have bank out in, and probably justified for a serious illness.
You know, for somebody that's been here 20 years, I would guess it's justified. I don't know. That's what the county was when we set our policy up, and we followed suit with the county. It takes a long time to bank that. You know, you have to have been here a long time like I have. And I'll use Merced as an example. Merced retired with 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
When he left, he had 400 hours of sick leave.
700? Yeah, it was over 700. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have you've got 400. Merced had 700 hours
that he never used.
That he never used, and he didn't get paid for. He just retired and lost it. You know, he could have got a doctor's note and you started using it up toward the end. That's what the teachers at the school do when they retire. They use up all their sick leave. But you know, Merced didn't do that though he could have. You know, we don't encourage people to do that, and we would make it hard for him to do that. We wouldn't sit back and let it happen without requiring him to have a doctor's note or something. But still, you know, he could have used a lot more sick leave, but he didn't. And that's the way most of our employees are. We've only got one employee that uses up all of his sick leave, and that's because he's got a bunch of sick kids that he's always having to tend to. But it would, and he's the only employee that it would hurt to combine sick and vacation because he actually uses a lot of sick leave, and really nobody else uses that much sick leave. I don't know. It may not be worth changing because what we've got now is pretty good. I mean, we really don't have that many problems with what we've got now. I mean, now the only thing is, like I said the other day, I think when you get employees that have 15 or 20 years, like me and, you know, and John's getting up there, you get out to a month vacation and, you know, I wish it was a little bit more for me personally. Like I said, whenever I get ready to retire, it's so that I can take more time off, but not, you know, not necessarily because I want to retire, but it's just to be able to take more time off when I get older. But anyway, that's it. We're still looking at it. I'll compare us to look at some other ones and see where we stand. I don't know about, I hadn't really thought through the lumping them together like Johnson County's done. Next, and that's the last agenda item. Next thing, we've got general manager report, reservoir level update. Last month we were at 780 elevation. That was 81% capacity. Right now, as of the end of last week, we were at 778.5. We were down a foot and a half from when we met last month. When we get down to 778, when we go down 6 more inches, and it may be down an inch from when I measured it last week, we'll be at 75% capacity. That's when we... let's see... Now, when we drop down to 778, we'll be at 75% capacity. That's when we go into stage one of our conservation plan. So we're planning on, when our bills go out this month, we're planning on notifying our customers that we're in stage one.
Do we have to notify TCEQ of that?
Not till stage two.
Stage two.
Yeah. Now we have to notify, the city, our wholesale customers.
Yeah.
So we'll notify the city. We have to, we notify our customers. We can do that through the bill. We'll put it on our website. I'll probably have Kim do something on social media. So we'll notify everybody that we're in stage one, which is just voluntary conservation. It's just telling people that we've got a mild water shortage. That's what it's called. Stage one is a mild water shortage. So we'll tell warn people of that, ask them to voluntarily conserve. And then, the stage two is not far behind that. It's, 775 is stage two. And we'll hit that by the end of the summer.
When we meet.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. If we're not, I doubt we'll meet in August, but we'll be there by the time we meet in September. And that's 65% capacity. And that's when we start having, I've got the policy attached here. That's when we start, telling people to stop watering and start conserving. But we're getting there. I mean, all we can do is hope we get some rain in the spring. It's too late. I think it's too late to get any rain this summer. Yeah.
And it come in the right direction.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
They come out and go.
It doesn't look like it.
Next thing that I got on the agenda is water line extensions. We finished County Road 412. That's the White Church Road that the Sextons live on over there. We got as far as we're going to go on it. Our annual contract has expired. We'll probably re-advertise it and come back to you guys in September and try to get another contractor under annual contract. Next road we're going to do, it looks like, is County Road 308. That's eastern part of the county, Georges Creek area. I've got a developer on that road that's going to participate in the cost of that. It's going to pay about a third of the cost of that road to get it done. And then when we finish it, we'll start working on FM 199 on the north side of 67. We've been trying to get there for several years. We got a lot of customers waiting on us up there, that'll probably take us a year, all of next year's budget to get that area done. Okay. Had a note on there to talk about the fireworks show. I don't know if you got to see the fireworks show. It was a good show again, just about the same as what we do every year. Our crowd was the lightest crowd we've had in 4, 5, 6 years. I don't know if it was the heat or the lake level.
The main reason, it was just too hot during the day.
Yeah.
People come out and enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, how much did we think we got up here? 2,000, 2,500?
There was a little over 800 through the gate that paid.
Yeah.
And then 975 when it went so free.
No, we didn't even hit 2,000. To me, it was the perfect size crowd. It was about how much I wish we'd get out of here every year. You know, the last couple of years, we've had more people than I cared to have up here. But it was about what I wish we'd get every year. I don't think we had a whole lot of people come from out of town. It looked like mostly locals to me, and that's all I really care about, is taking care of the people that are paying for the show.
They count heads at the back gate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have the crowds been a little bit lighter coming out just for the benefits of the lake?
They have.
I just think it's gotten hotter quicker this year than it normally does.
Sure. You know, it did. And
right.
You'll see it on here when we get to that park report. I think that's the last thing we'll talk about, but you'll see it when we get there. This last month was pretty light. A lot of it, you know, the swimming's not as good when the lake's down like this, because we've got sand around the edges of the lake, but the lake's got to be fairly full to be able to take advantage of the sand. You know, now you're swimming in the mud down there now, so it's not as good or as fun, I don't think. It has a lot to do with it, and it's just so daggum hot.
Have the divers dropped off, or they still?
I haven't seen a whole lot of divers this year. Divers seem to have dropped off. It seems like everything has dropped off a little bit.
So I was out here one day fishing 2 weeks ago, and I was the only one on the lake. Was anybody else here?
Yeah. Yeah, that we hadn't had as many fishermen. Yeah, everything's down. I was going to say, Kim found a, you know, Karen's really been wanting to put in a credit card reader over there. We found a credit card reader, a little handheld deal, that works with spotty internet, you know, because our internet up there has been kind of spotty. But she found one that was pretty easy to work, pretty easy to set up. We got it in here, and we've been giving it a little test run, and it seems, are you having any problems with it? It seems to be working. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's real easy to operate. It kind of met all the issues that we had, all the arguments that we had for not having one over there. It kind of solved. So anyway, we've been trying it. I think we'll probably just can let them continue to use that thing. So we'll either take cash. We're still not going to make change. We're going to either take exact cash and have them put it in that box, or we're gonna let them pay with a credit card. We've had a few more complaints. There's some people on social media complaining a little bit about it, and I, that's really not why we did it. We just did it. It's probably time to do it now. But if y'all are okay with that, we're using that little reader.
I'd run a good test on it.
Yeah.
And if you can, let's see what happens when we lose internet. You know, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do?
This one here, what happens when we lose internet, it'll still... It'll still read it, and it'll just store that information, and whenever your internet comes back on, it loads all the charges up. So it solves, I mean, it basically solves the internet problem for you by storing the data.
That's not all people use anymore.
We hadn't started advertising it. We just gave it to them, and people, the customers that come in and say, man, all I got's a credit card, they've just been using it on them.
Yeah, I think we're not about $400 last weekend and about $400 this weekend. Yeah.
And will it print a receipt if mm-hmm. they want it?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a pretty slick
one when the internet's down?
I think it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it does too. The only issue they said is it is a little bit slower when the internet's down, and it's having to store everything in it. But it's still, you know, it's still working. We didn't use it for the 4th because we didn't want a real line out there waiting on us. It's a little bit slower. It's clearly slower than people just throwing their money in the box. But we're experimenting with it, see if it's going to work. Well, we did the water line extension update. Water usage, now I guess our bank balances. Right now we have, general fund has $2.6 million in it. That's enough to get us through the end of the year. You know, we showed finishing up this year with 1.8, so we're on pace to do that. We've got $1,371,000 in there for debt service. We've got our September debt payments that are going to take most of that up. And then in our capital maintenance and trust, we've still got $7.2 million sitting in the bank. We don't have any plans to use any of that. Water usage report. Last month we sold 16 million gallons. Last June we sold 9 million gallons. So it's almost double what we sold last year, but it's about the same amount as we sold in June of 20. So it's not a whole lot of water. I suspect this month, we're gonna probably set a high this month of what we're gonna sell. Probably the same thing in August. We'll probably set a new record for water sales in August. People are just gonna use a lot of water. Next thing we got is the park comparison. You can see in June we made $23,000 at the park. Not near as much as we've made the last two Junes. It's more in line with what we pre-pandemic numbers we were having, which is kind of what we thought we would get back to eventually, or we were hoping we'd get back to. We'll see what kind of July we have, but I don't think it's going to be a terribly large number. I think July is going to be off from the last 2 years as well. But we're about almost $64,000 for the year. That getting close to paying for the park paying for itself, so we're still in a good, pretty good shape. And then we've got all the rest of your financials in the packet there for you to look at and take them if you want to. That's all I've got.
Well, good reports.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion in second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye. Did you get that off?